B-Pod Studios.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The Sports Hub. Right now.
It's like they're all on laughing gas.
It's Tusher and Rich.
Slow. Yeah, everything's in slow motion.
On Boston's home for sports.
These are the kind of people that take snoozes under trees.
98.5, The Sports Hub.
The Sports Hub, or Tusher and Rich. And Rich, something you've been thinking about, something.
Yeah, so I had read a story that happened yesterday, and it made me remember a moment in radio that is one of those times where I just, has anyone ever acted some way around you and you're just saying to yourself, does this person really know what they're doing right now? Do they know that what they're saying is probably the worst possible thing you could say or do at this time? We both worked with a gentleman, and I was working on a morning show with somebody who was telling a story on the air. And I believe that he was doing it in an effort to try to make himself sound awesome and cool. And
not this guy. He had a license plate that said, "You know me." So, I mean, it's hard to believe.
So, he comes in this morning and starts telling a story.
This morning. He came in the morning were on the morning show in Atlanta.
This is years upon years ago. And he came on the air and he was saying, "You're never going to believe what happened yesterday. I totally showed these guys who's boss." So I was driving in traffic and this guy cut me off. And I was like, you know what? I've had enough of them. So I follow them to where they were going. And they were going to this restaurant. And as soon as I got out of the car, I got out and I pulled out my wallet and I pretended I was a FBI agent. And I said, "FBI a-holes, you guys." And I started yelling at them and telling them that I've got their license plate number. And now I'm going to be monitoring them because I'm a member of the FBI.
Was it FBI or Secret Service?
Oh, it was Secret Service. I'm sorry.
That's part of the story.
It was Secret Service. It was not FBI.
Yeah, he said he was Secret Service.
Secret Service. And that he's been following them. And now he is going to send their plate to the right people that are going to be monitoring them and keeping an eye on everything that they do.
And meanwhile, this guy is telling the story thinking that everyone in the audience is like, wow.
Showed them. They cut you off in traffic. You're living the dream.
Yeah, like, wait, you faked being Secret Service. Like, wow, like, really cool. Like, you're the best. First of all, that never happened. Like, he didn't do that.
No. He didn't.
Never in a million years did he do that.
So there's two things going through my head while he's telling this story. One, like, boy, this sounds really douchey. Two, he's lying.
Like this guy in ball hugger tennis shorts that he wore every day, this goofball, Sue Happy loser, comes out of his car. I hate him. I hate this guy. And he comes, so he's telling he's telling this on the air to an audience of hundreds of thousands of people, that this moron somehow gets the guy to pull over. Then, if you get the guy to pull over, the guy's probably got a gun or he's going to kick your ass. Mm-hmm. I mean, if he's willing to pull over, he wants a confrontation. So get that out of the set. So that, let's pretend that didn't happen. So he gets out of the car, he produces a wallet and like goes, "I'm in the Secret Service." And the guy's like, "Oh my.
Oh, please. No. I'm like, sorry I cut you off.
Guy
whatever
in ball
you
hugger
want.
Shorts with a You Know Me plate." Like, like, wow, you're in the Secret Service. Right.
First of all, do you realize the irony between saying you're in the Secret Service and having a license plate that says You Know Me?
Yeah, right. I mean, this guy.
That's a secret.
In the idea that he concocted, well, you could watch his movie No Witness to see him really, see the depths of his imagination. I mean, he was a cold-blooded killer.
So he tells this story at 8 a.m. right around 9:45, when we were it was the middle of a commercial break. Our general manager, who never would bother us during the show, opens up the door, and behind him are two men in suits. And he goes, "You, I need to see you right now," and points at this DJ who said it on the air. And he goes, okay. Which, and he's like, and do you want me to finish the show? We only got 50 minutes. I go, no, right now.
No, it was weird because he was in the middle of a riveting on-air game of blackjack.
Radio Blackjack was one of the all-time great radio
the bits that he played. I don't mean to keep interrupting Rich's story, but I want you to know more about this guy.
Fred loves this person.
Well, no, everyone else loves him. It's everyone else. It's like nothing ever happened. And what he did was he dealt himself a hand of blackjack, and then he dealt the caller a hand of blackjack, and then would ask the caller if he wanted to sit, hit or stand. And then they would play blackjack on the air.
And he would just invent what card it was.
Okay, I didn't know that.
Do I want to win or do I want to lose?
It was really something else. Okay, so anyway, so these guys come in suits. They force him out of the radio station. So this is during the middle of the show.
Yeah, during the middle of the show. It's a commercial break. Right before the last break, we're about to go on the air. And so he goes, okay. Because they say, you know, can I finish the show? Nope, you need to come with us right now. And as they start walking away, you can see that there's like some of the other people who are standing outside are looking like, what the hell just happened? This guy got yanked off the air mid-show. We later on find out that those were members of the Secret Service, and they had found out that he went on the air and was saying that he was impersonating a member of the Secret Service, and they were threatening to arrest him. Right in the middle of the workday, and everybody at the office is like crowded around the office trying to figure out what's going on with this DJ.
Which is why I mentioned the Secret Service, because that is the group you can't screw with.
You do not F around.
Like, if he said he was probably pretending to be a cop, the cops wouldn't have come. If he said he was probably pretending to be FBI, I mean, the FBI is not going to bother with it. But Secret Service, they have to. Like, if you go on the air and you say something about the president, like, the Secret Service does... I mean, you've read stories about celebrities, like, tweeting something. So they have to come out there. I wonder how he got out of it. What if he said,
I made
the whole thing up, and it was none of it was true.
So it was just like, so everyone knew that there were like some sort of officers that showed up and were possibly attempting to question or arrest somebody at the office.
You have to question them.
And everyone knew what was going on, because word got out almost immediately that these are members of the Secret Service. Everyone in the office was like, oh my God, this DJ is going to go to jail. He got out of it, obviously, because of what you said. But I mean, having an officer show up at your workplace and question or arrest somebody is a moment. Like, that's something where you're like, whoa, what? And like, how do you go back? And how do you like explain to everyone what just happened? I know that when my wife worked at a bank, we both worked at a bank at the same time, and we both had officers show up. I got questioned once because there was a woman who, she was young and she was somewhat cute, so I was probably a perfect target. I think I was like 19 at the time when I was a bank teller.
Right.
And she used to work at one of the hotels that was right near us. Now, there was a rule that you always had to check ID when someone was cashing checks, even if they're cashing for someone else, unless you had a relationship. Unless you trusted this person, they were a longtime customer, they said you could ease off on that and be able to do it. So this one woman, she was actually more like a girl. She was probably right about my age. She kept coming in, and she would always want to go to my station. And we hit it off and was very nice.
She's flirtatious. Yeah. She's cute.
And she would cash about 10 checks, and each one was probably about like $300 or $400. And she was saying that it was for employees that worked at the hotel that didn't have a banking account. So she kept doing that. And finally, after a while, she just stopped giving an ID, and I just did it week after week after week. And then one day, members of the FBI show up and they say, Rich, we need to see you in the office. And it was the bank manager, two members of the FBI, and me. And they said, do you know this lady? And they show me a picture. I was like, oh yeah, it's so-and-so for the bank. She goes, she's been cashing fraudulent checks for about the last 2 months, and she seems to have gone exclusively to you. Do you know her outside of the bank? And immediately, just everything inside of me got cold and white. Yeah. And I was like, oh my God, they think that I'm in on this. And the reason that I started thinking about that was because just a month earlier, my wife, who worked at a bank, the cops came in and immediately arrested one of the tellers because she had been working in conjunction with a guy who worked at the airport. And when the mail was coming in, they were getting he could tell which ones had credit cards in them. He was taking the credit cards out, going to this bank, and she was doing cash withdrawals, like cash advances on credit cards that people had not received yet. So Mary's sitting there at work, normal day, and here comes the bank manager with two different police officers, and they arrested the girl who was working right next to her and took her to jail. So I'm sitting there thinking, I'm going to go to jail. And it ended up being, you know, the woman ended up vouching for me who was with the bank manager. And she could tell because I was about to pee all over myself and cry.
As anyone would. I would lose my mind.
Then I was out. But have you ever had somebody show up to your office and either arrest somebody or get questioned by the FBI? Because that, it seems to be, I got to think that somebody being arrested at work, because they know where you are. Like, if you're wanted for something, they'll come and find you at work, because where else, you know, that's the first place they'll probably end up.
Yeah, I mean, I've been served papers at work, and the best was our receptionist was a badass at the time. This was in Boston, and she just wouldn't take them. And until finally they found some way to get him to me. And guess
was it
who,
from this gentleman?
It was from the guy who did the Secret Service story. He was suing me for $1 million.
So it all comes full circle. It all comes full circle.
He decided to sue me for $1 million. He sued me for $1 million for making fun of him.
Okay.
Yeah, and you know what? What all those other people at the station who didn't like him so much did?
What?
Bent over and they all got out of it. And the station let them be exempt from the punishment, except for me, who had to defend myself and pay $35,000 to defend myself. All right, so...
Wow, full phone lines.
All right, so good. Good people have had this. I have not had that. I have not had, to my recollection, and I think I would remember, I have not had any police come to a place of my business and arrest someone.
Other than, of course, you know, with the guy we worked with I just mentioned.
Yeah, I wasn't there, though, when it happened.
Oh, it was a thing, man.
I don't know if I worked there when it happened.
Dude, imagine if someone came in and took Wallach and you found out it was the Secret Service questioning him.
No. Well, you probably had to be rolling your eyes. It was probably a boring story, too, that didn't go anywhere, and you probably were rolling your eyes.
Well, we didn't know exactly what it was until, and it was funny. It was one of those things that it seems so obvious now, but at the time, we're like, what's happening? And then finally, it was the other co-host who was like, I wonder if it's because of that story.
No, I'm talking about the story. Like, during the story, you're probably rolling your eyes and just like, whatever.
Well, I'm thinking he's lying and this is a dumb story.
And you're in another room and you're just like, whatever. And then all of a sudden, like, what a jackass. Out of all the dumb lies that bastard probably told on the air, he's got to go Secret Service. He couldn't have just said he was a cop. He couldn't have just said anything.
Which would have still got him in trouble. But
the cops wouldn't have come and questioned him. They would have just been like, whatever. And like what cop? Like, what, like, patrolman is just going to decide to do that? Like, I don't think, maybe. It's not a good idea to do. I mean, but they didn't catch him doing it.
Yeah.
But Secret Service, they have to. They investigated John Mulaney for jokes he did on Saturday Night Live.
Yep.
I mean,
yep.
They like, the Secret Service, like, you, why, what a dumb. Like, of all the groups, because they do investigate everything. I mean, celebrities, again, John Mulaney was, I mean, they knew he wasn't up to anything, but they had to go and ask questions. All right.
Well, these are good.
We will break. So if you called in, talk to Nick, stay on the line. We'll come back with your stories.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
They get you going.
That's a difficult thing to get through.
Every day.
That is 4 hours of conversation.
Toucher and Rich on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
We're Toucher and Rich. Rich and I worked at a station. Rich worked for a show. And a guy who I ended up replacing went on the air. Not for this incident. He didn't get... He left on his own accord, legally. And but in this incident, this guy told this story that he was cut off in traffic, and then he wanted to teach the guy a lesson, so he made the guy pull over somehow, and then he got out and pretended he was Secret Service, and he was going to do all this stuff. And then what happened is like a little later in the show, two guys come in with suits, come up with the general manager of the station, and they remove the guy from the show to go question him because it was the Secret Service.
Yes.
They were saying, why were you posing as a member of the Secret Service? Because, again, even John Mulaney has been questioned for the, by the Secret Service for jokes he's made, political jokes he's made. Secret Service is not a group to trifle with. They are responsible to take everything seriously. So
when the cops or the FBI, or in this case the Secret Service, show up at your work and start questioning an employee that you work with, it is a moment. It is a thing. And everyone in the office now knows if you had any kind of secret life, everyone knows about it. It's kind of tough to look people in the face again, although this guy probably wasn't horribly tough afterwards.
One day, I think you can read the lawsuit he filed against me online, if you'd like to. Just put Fred Toucher lawsuit in Google, and you can. It's a real long one. It's probably about 500 pages of transcript of me ripping on him. So you can have fun with that. It wasn't so fun at the time. I'll tell you what. Way to keep line three on, Nick. That is how you answer.
No, well, line three is kind of funny. Like, line three actually made me laugh.
All right, you want me to go to
line seven?
All right. That's the wrong line. Let's go to Jordan. Jordan, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going, guys? Yeah, so I was working at Foxborough at the time. This was 2 years ago, and it was a trucking company. We had a little shop in the back, a little garage, and I'm working there with another guy. And, you know, we're just starting our day, and out of nowhere, boom! We're the state police task force, guns at our heads, everything. Start tackling me to the ground. The other guy's already on the road, so we start trying to run out the back door. They're already dead. And then, like, you know, they had to wait for confirmation. The guy come up with a photo. He said, oh, that's not him. That's not him. So they end up going to the office. I guess the guy...
All right, your phone's awful, but apparently, from what I heard, is that they've kicked down the doors and put guns in their heads, and I saw on the thing that one of the guy was arrested on murder charges.
Oh, well, a guy I went to high school with that lived in my subdivision, who I, like, his the only way I knew him is that his dog would hump 2 liters if you threw him in front of the dog. But
would he be smart enough to go to the side with the empty hole?
No. It was just rubbing.
Okay.
But this kid Brad, he had weed delivered to him in FedEx, and he was sitting around like at his house, and his parents were home, and the DEA came and kicked the door down and had semi-automatic weapons and stuff. And that happened to his neighbor. Was in a traffic thing. I'm sorry, getting off topic, but he had was in a traffic thing, and he had the club. Remember the club?
Oh yeah, I remember the club. Yeah.
And the guy he was into it with said that he had a shotgun, and so the next thing you know, this kid drove home. There's a helicopter above his house, and these cops get out with like a SWAT team, thinking that this is armed and dangerous, dude. So yeah, I mean that I can only imagine. All right, let's go to. Let's go to Carlos. Carlos, go ahead.
How you doing? So I currently still work with the person, but there was a woman found naked on a trail dead, and I guess they found DNA from cigarettes around the body, and they came into work questioning everybody about his whereabouts, and they were outside in the parking lot searching his vehicle. They took his vehicle, and they were searching. As far as I know... he still currently works with us. I'm not sure if he's still a suspect, but...
Oh, my God.
Wow.
You're not sure.
It's a 63-year-old man, so I don't know what's going on with it. But.
That's the way to be, though, Carlos. Do not become a guy who knows what's going on with it. I would stay as... ignorant as possible on that situation.
I would sit at a different table in the lunchroom if you've got it. could be working with a murderer.
He's in the warehouse, and I'm a driver, so.
Yeah, I'm not asking.
I'm near the situation.
Fair enough.
Yeah, I'm not asking questions, Carlos. You're doing the right thing. I'm not asking questions at that point. I am.
Steer clear.
I am, I'm keeping my distance. All right, Todd, go ahead.
Hey, guys, how are we doing?
Hey, what's up?
All right, so I run a beach down on the South Shore. It's got like 1,000 parking spaces, concession, all of that. So one day I'm in there selling some snow cones, and I look up, and these three FBI agents come in yellow jackets. It says FBI on the front and back. And I was like, holy crap. And the place is packed. Everybody's staring at me. And we go behind the counter. They're all, like, questioning me. And what happened was, I'm not sure if you know what piping plovers are, the little endangered birds?
No, but okay, but they're endangered birds, okay?
Yeah, so they're these little endangered birds. They shut down the beaches all over the South Shore. Well, I guess a woman was walking around the beach picking up the little endangered bird chicks. They couldn't fly away, and she was putting them in their pockets, so they sent the FBI down to investigate because it's a federal offense. So the FBI in yellow jackets were walking all over the beach trying to find a woman who was picking up
these I like how they questioned you, too. Like,
right, in the middle of your workplace,
yeah, like,
too.
I know her. Yeah, she's the bird lady.
Yeah, it wasn't good for snow cone sales that day.
Yeah. Yeah, because you see the FBI, you assume there's a heinous murder or something.
I thought there was a missing person or something pretty bad, but yeah, they were picking up the endangered birds, so the FBI came.
Yeah, well, fantastic.
But yeah, Jimmy, maybe you want to get the hot dog instead of deal with that man over there.
That's Sarah. She sells all the endangered birds on the beach. They're all over the beach. Are they endangered is my question. But there you go. I mean, what do I know?
All right. Line three is the ultimate Hesher crime that this guy got questioned for.
All right. Lucas, go ahead.
How you guys doing? So I was working at a True Green, probably 10 years ago. I was young, just out of college. Guy that was working in the same room, oh, hey, I got some DVDs, You wanted to buy some? I was like, oh, sure. $5, new movies. Awesome. Come to find out. He was copying them, making them illegally and everything like that. And, of course, yeah, not a big crime, you don't think. I've been working for about a year. FBI breaks in the place, comes in, just takes the guy out. He's like, yep, you're getting arrested. FBI is coming, taking you for selling copied movies.
They really do that?
Never saw him again.
That warning is real?
I swear to God, I thought.
At the beginning, piracy is not a victimless crime, blah, blah, blah. I was like, okay. And then guy gets taken up by the FBI.
Do you know what happened to him?
Never heard from him again. I have no idea.
Wow, because I always thought that was akin to ripping the mattress tag off. Yeah. I never thought that they really would pursue that.
Like somebody got a copy the guy sold him that didn't work or something like that.
How do you find out? Yeah.
First of all, to make it worth it, he must have sold a ton of those things, too.
Right, I guess. I don't know how many you could sell just operating by yourself. That seems like what's the punishment for that?
It looks pretty scary at the beginning.
Well, doesn't it say,
movie?
Right?
Yeah.
Fines of like $100,000 or something?
Yeah, right, 10 years and stuff like that.
They're going to do that.
No, but they should.
Thing.
They really should fine the guy $100,000 because they'll get it immediately. The guy will immediately provide them with $100,000.
Copied movies for $5.
Yeah.
Probably can't put together $100,000.
Oh, he's swimming in it, John. Yeah. And just garnish his wages. You'll get that $100,000 lickety split. Sometimes these things are so ridiculous, what they say they're going to do, and you're like, okay,
sure.
Yeah, because you can't stop me from eating and living in a house, so there's going to have to be a little good. I can give it to you in dollar increments. What do you want?
It's a payment plan.
Yeah, I'll give you $1 100,000 times over the course of my life. What do you want? What do you want out of me?
How do they not arrest everybody? Because you remember, you go to New York City and on the side of the road, there would just be crates of movies that were out at the at the time.
Yeah.
That somebody, and if you ever bought one, which I have before, just to kind of see what it was like, there is a gentleman in the back of the movie theater just with a camera filming the screen. You see people get up and sit down in the middle of the theater.
It's
and everything.
It's so creepy because I had access a couple years ago to one of those websites and it worked with all the first run movies. But then they had, it was when the brand new Star Wars came out, the first one in a long time.
Yeah.
And that one was a guy in the theater with a camera, and it was too creepy for me to watch.
Oh, yeah. It's you can't watch it.
It was really weird.
You hear people coughing and stuff.
Yeah, yeah. I was afraid something was going to happen. There was going to be a snuff film or something. It edited in. Because it had spotlight and stuff, and it was the screeners. Had uploaded the screeners to this website. It doesn't work anymore. It hasn't worked for years, but I couldn't watch Star Wars because it was too creepy for me. And some of them were in like English, but like the Star Wars was in English, but it had like Arabic
subtitles.
So obviously the guy had taped it like in an Arab country. And so, it was too creepy for me.
Jeez.
Yes, Dan.
So one of the unions that I belong to is the Screen Actors Guild, and I get screener copies, and they're all watermarked. But I'm deathly afraid that like they're going to get out if I lent it to somebody and they watched. You know,
well, that's
it. But sometimes when I get them, they're also still in the theaters as well.
But yeah. What they do is the punishment, because that's happened to people. The punishment is you just don't get the screeners anymore.
Yeah. Although they'll take your dues. They'll still take your money.
Of course. Yeah.
So do you get insurance through SAG?
It's available. Yep.
You lucky bastard. That's how mm-hmm. Danny Elfman gets. You know how Danny Elfman gets insurance? Because he went The Simpsons. Him singing those three syllables have gotten him his insurance he's had for his entire life.
Wow. So why is that line different than the other stuff he done in other movies? Because, I mean, obviously Danny Elfman's made music for a ton of films.
They said, like, what do you get paid for The Simpsons? And he's like, not a lot, but because my voice is on it,
yeah,
that got me my SAG membership, which got me my insurance back in 1989, yeah. And that's been my insurance through my entire life.
That's wild.
So he said the big thing is if you're composing for, because it doesn't work if it's not your voice.
Yeah, get your voice on it.
It's to get your voice on it, yeah. And then join SAG so you can get that health insurance.
Him singing Dead Man's Party and Back to School with Rodney Dangerfield didn't count?
I remember that scene, yes.
That does not count.
Okay.
He's on the stage there.
Even though Danny Elfman's voice in that song is unbelievable.
I love Danny Elfman.
When he goes, "Don't," I can't do it. Don't run away. I can't even do it. Like, it's crazy. I've seen him do it live. Very impressive. No great Oingo Boingo fan, but I'll tell you, that's a legitimately good song.
Dead Man's Party?
Yeah.
Oingo Boingo had, did they do the Weird Science theme too?
That was their biggest hit.
Weird Science.
Yeah. That was the only song they've had that reached the top Billboard Top 100. Mm-hmm. Danny Elfman, a very strange looking man.
Very, very strange. Voice of Jack Skellington when he sings as well.
Now he's all tatted up. He didn't have tattoos until he got older, and now they're all over him, and it makes him look even really scary.
See, I think old guys with tattoos rule. I think it's a great look.
No. Yeah, I have them. But
no, I know. I mean, like old guys.
No, I know, but that's fine. But he looks scary.
Okay.
He's scary looking.
He is a scary looking guy, yes.
Go check out his brother's movie he made in 1978 and walk away with that from that thing. I showed Rich a good scene from it.
Oh, yeah.
The guys with lizard's heads for no reasons. All right, well, I'm glad that you've all had the police and the FBI show up to your places of work. Don't ever say you're in the Secret Service. It's our lesson to you. And if you're going to sue me, know that your career soon will be over because you'll never work in media again. All right, because you come off like a real rock star when you sue someone for making fun of you.
I've been sent the link, by the way.
Oh, to your
lawsuit, yes. I've been sent the link.
I'm proud of that lawsuit, so share it all you want. Retweet it. Retweet it. Add Tutcher and Rich for retweet the lawsuit. Read it.
Okay.
You should. There's nothing. It's legal. I mean, it's out. He decided to sue me. It's all his crap. He wrote it all. I didn't do anything with the lawsuit. I've settled with him vast amounts of money. Every cent of that million. But yeah, retweet it. It's a huge transcript of me drunk at a club talking over his movie. It's quite something. So that you can enjoy my lawsuit. At least I'll get something out of it. Someone will enjoy it. All right, here are the headlines.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
They've got the insiders.
It's Jeffy, hello, sir.
Insiders.
Maybe you know something. I doubt it.
No, I don't know anything.
Tutcher and Rich, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
98.5, the Sports Hub. We're Tutcher and Rich real quick. Someone tweeted Rich some court document revolving around the lawsuit that the guy brought up against me. But what it was just that this did court saying they weren't going to dismiss the case, which is funny because they cite Crash getting fired as a reason to not dismiss it, because it implies that like something nefarious might have happened with this dude, which never happened. He never did anything wrong. Mm-hmm. And Crash screwing me again.
That's why they didn't dismiss it, because of your buddy Crash.
Well, he's cited in it.
Crash.
He's cited in it.
Oh, well.
That and the bike thing, yeah. Crash really did me a lot of favors. All right, let's go on.
Okay, so John just found this. So I give John all the credit in the world here, because this is a excerpt that just came out from a book called Can't Knock the Hustle. It's written by Matt Sullivan, and Matt Sullivan used to be worked for the New York Times. He's written for the Bleacher Report, The Athletic as well. I mean, he's a pretty good writer, and he's connected, and he knows a lot of people. And it's about, it looks to me as if, I don't know if that's what the entirety of the book is about, but there's definitely a portion of it about the forming of the super team in Brooklyn, including when it was that Kyrie Irving and Kevin Durant first started plotting playing together, also known as when Kyrie Irving started plotting leaving the Boston
now,
Celtics.
Now, it's been well publicized because we've seen the video of the two of them talking in the hallway at the All-Star game. This book actually says that they started talking about this 2 or 3 weeks before that. At Kyrie used to live in Western Massachusetts when he was here at a mansion. And the first meeting was when the Warriors came to town right before Super Bowl Sunday, and Durant had dinner at Kyrie's house.
Yeah, so they say, the excerpt says, January 25th, 2019, Weston, Massachusetts. Kyrie Irving inviting his old friend Kevin Durant for dinner at a mansion, a 7-bedroom spread in the woods of suburban Boston that did not feel particularly lived in. This was the night before the 2-time defending champion Warriors played the Celtics on network TV, and Kyrie was battling the flu. They said, despite his misgivings about the racialized history of Boston sports fans, Kyrie had told the Celtics that he wanted to re-sign for the long term at a fan appreciation event in the fall of 2018, which, of course, we were all
3 months before this incident took place, by the way.
Mm-hmm. But 3 weeks after that, his grandfather died, sending Kyrie into a sudden spiral of depression for which he deeply regret not seeking therapy. From that moment, he would tell his old friend Kevin Durant, quote, "Life became way more important than basketball. Anything I was doing in basketball, I didn't really care." They said by the time Katie arrived at his temporary mansion for their unfinished business, Kyrie had grown sick of creating a social distance from Celtics teammates for days at a time, or else, as he was that month in January 2019, pointing fingers at them in public, especially around a loss in Brooklyn. He tried to stop internalizing the media's misperception of his ego. He tried to be more present for his daughter, to treat his job like a job, but self-care could begin professionally on his own terms. He began charting a path home by way of his boyhood team, the Brooklyn Nets.
Wait, okay, so why was he distancing himself from his teammates?
Apparently, the way I read it is the depression kickstarted this. So it's
their fault?
It doesn't say that here.
It doesn't, and I'm not even reading between the lines that it says that. And maybe he may have, in the writing of the story, kind of tried to spin it that way.
It sucks that his grandmother died, and it sucks he didn't get mental health, support. I don't know what that has to do with being in Boston or the racial history of Boston or his teammates, but okay.
He said going home and doing good had lingered in Kyrie's mind, and the Brooklyn Nets were a team that he and KD could manipulate. 2 max salary slots, a flexible general manager, a few pieces, and Fred, maybe even some room for their friend DeAndre Jordan. Kyrie built a house in Jersey for his daughter and perhaps more children yet to grow up in, KD told a confidant that he didn't think the Warriors would get any better if Steve Kerr couldn't hold Draymond Green accountable for his outbursts, and that he was occasionally irked when Steph got so much attention from the media and the fans. In other words, why do you love him and not me?
Yep. Yeah. Again, Kevin Durant will never, ever be happy.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's not happy now. He's never going to be happy.
He said he didn't like what his situation was, KD said, and me either in Golden State. And it was just like, hey, man, let's see how this would work. Let's try it out. He said, and DJ wanted to play with us to be the center so that can kind of hold us down and play for something, really play for a team that's going somewhere, not just keep moving around and bouncing around to leave. So, I mean, at that dinner, he told Kevin Durant that he did not like the situation with the Boston Celtics that he was in. So they said, but
again, why?
Dude, I don't know. I'm trying to figure out because,
this doesn't explain it. It doesn't definitively explain why.
I mean,
why
his grandmother died, which is, if he was very close to her, that's sad. If he was going through a depression, that sucks. If he needed to get mental health, he should. I, again, don't understand this all. And he wants to do good in the community. That's great. He has. And I don't know what this has to do. Why again, the Celtics are this horrible entity in Boston, is this terrible city, but okay.
He said KD would follow Kyrie's lead. That night in the suburbs at that dinner, he even ate a vegan burger for the first time. Quote, "I could F this," he said. A super team was starting to be formed. That's what it's written.
Yes. He said what?
Stop, DA. A super team was starting to be formed over a side of kale salad and clink. KD and Kyrie went upstairs to the playroom, shared a vegan smoothie, shot a Nerf ball into a toy hoop, and played NBA 2K. Controlling miniature versions of themselves and their teammates like marionettes, they wondered how else they could string together a team that was going somewhere. Quote, "And from that point, we took the power back and put it in our hands." So this is once again something that he had been plotting.
And by the way, took the power back and put it in our hands, which is a big issue in the NBA, is that the players feel that they are pawns in a game for billionaires. And to which I would say, get rid of max contracts and let teams pay whatever the players want and build the team that way and get rid of all this crap. If players think that getting drafted and being paid, you know, $40 million by a team is being a pawn in some nefarious game run by mostly white owners, okay, fair enough. Get rid of max contracts, keep a salary cap because you have to have competitive balance. That's necessary for the league. That's not holding anyone down. That is for the good. It's just a simple fact that smaller markets don't generate as much income as larger markets. Keep a salary cap, get rid of max contracts, and if Kyrie Irving thinks he deserves $90 million a year, have him go get it, and then you have no issues. And if you're not winning... And then if you're not, this solves everything. Then if you're not winning, it's entirely on you. Because
if you demanded that money?
Well, no, because you're saying to the team, and it's on the team too, that you are good enough that if I give 75% of my salary cap, I'm being ridiculous here on purpose. If I give 75% of my salary cap to you, that I can fill a team up with 25% that's left, and you can win us a championship. Done. End of story. Do it. And then all this crap of, Jason Tatum's going to go to the Olympics and he's going to start talking to players. They're going to make a super team. All that goes away because you pay the guy what they think they're worth. And then guess what?
You want to talk about power. I mean, it's an elite players league. It's not a players league. It's an elite players league.
It's 15 league. Players league.
Yes, it's an elite players league. But Kyrie and Kevin Durant taking back the power. I mean, Durant went from Oklahoma City to Golden State, who couldn't knock themselves out quick enough.
In basketball is this, is that why players don't care about the stomping on the logo and all that is because there is a belief that this states it. I've told you guys this before. Players believe that they are a pawn in a billionaire's game, mostly white billionaires that own the teams. That's a fact, if not all. And that they are pawns in this game and that they don't have any say. So, fair enough. And reward them. Let them make as much money as they want, as you feel that you can pay them.
Well, you're basically making them the GM.
No. You're not making them the GM. You're taking away the GM from them. What you're doing is you're saying, okay, Luka Doncic, okay, you're the greatest. All right, I'll pay you $75 million. The cap's 120, so we'll have to fill in the blanks.
Yeah.
So there you go. It's over.
I'm reading this, and I remember how incredulous Kyrie Irving was when he was questioned about that video when he was in the hallway with Kevin Durant, you know, doing the two max contracts.
Two days later, they asked him about that.
Do you remember what a dick he was to the media? Like, who do you think you are?
Media don't get it. The media don't understand how stifled Kyrie Irving was and how he's an entertainer and the media are too tough and they don't just sit back and enjoy his greatness. That's his attitude. I think I just encapsulated his attitude. I think if he was sitting here across from me and I said, Kyrie, listen, the media just doesn't understand you. They want to know all these things that just don't matter. Why can't they just go out and enjoy the beauty of you playing basketball?
Well, he has said that. Just enjoy the art.
And if you were him, he would sit there and nod and say, you get it.
Yep. Because
and I have a friend's tattoo.
That's what he, and I have, of course.
Because I'm a super genius. I like the show Friends enough to get a prominent tattoo on my arm of it. That's how smart I am.
And by the way, I was wrong. He is out tonight. I thought that there was no way he would miss this game. But
no,
I guess
that
this
ankle
is serious.
That ankle is bad.
Yeah,
he's not
going to
be back for a while. Well,
so there you go. Glenn Davis, who's high-fiving in the air right now.
So, I mean, that's all you got to do. Get rid of the cap. Get rid of the Supermax. Just let them make as much money as they can.
It's a good idea that solves a lot of problems. The union will never agree to it, but...
Oh, I don't know. The union is who runs the union? Kyrie Irving runs the union.
He does, but I would think now, in a situation like this, where the mid-level guys and even the non-mid-level guys are going to make even less money, I don't think...
How many times in football have you seen players have to eat crap
at the bottom of
the roster?
The NFL Players Union, I mean, they've been blown away by the owners the last two negotiations and stuck with long-ass CBAs as a result.
And by the way, if you want to win so bad... If you're LeBron James, it doesn't matter as much now where he's at in his career, but if you're LeBron James at 34, you could go, I'm going to take a $30 million deal and we can build around that. I mean, you can if you really want to win, I mean, you can still make a super team. You're just making less money. But I want to know if Kevin Durant comes over to Kyrie's house and has a nice vegan smoothie and a kale salad.
Well, he has the flu, by the way.
Yes,
so he invited his friend over even though he had the flu.
Yeah, I'm sure he's really sick. So, just like he was so upset about the Capitol riots, he couldn't play. But the let's see how that meeting goes. When one guy's making $60 million and you're asking the other guy to take 10, let's see how those meetings go when you're being manipulated and led around. If that's the way you feel, who am I to say that that's not the way it is? Get rid of it. Get rid of it. And let the NBA figure it out.
I think it's a good idea. And I think that the fact that, you know, it would definitely separate the bad GMs from the really bad GMs.
Yep.
Because you would see which guys would, okay, I'll agree to, you know what, you're worth $55 million a year. And you could just see how that will tank the rest of the team.
So if you have control of Jason Tatum and you think that he's the greatest player ever, sign him to as much money as you could possibly think. And he ain't leaving. You can keep that Tatum jersey for the rest of your life because he's never leaving the team. You don't have to keep cycling through jerseys. At least you'll have you'll be good for the next 10 years. I mean, that's how they feel. That's why they all hug at the end of games. That's why players have these meetings. That's why while the season's going on, they're not concerned with what's going on with their team. They believe the elite players, in the league, the top 10, 15 players in the league, believe that they somehow are being they're being victimized by the media. They're being victimized by ownership. They have they've lacked control of everything. They can be traded and these and that, this and that. And if they think it's a Kurt Flood situation, then get rid of it. Get rid of it. I'm fine with that. And you get to watch your best player. You can buy season tickets. You'll see your favorite player every night. You'll see him every night. They'll never leave. Better or worse, they're never leaving.
And the thing is, too, is let's say you were a team that went all in on one guy and gave him like $60 million and then he gets injured. Then your team's just going to be awful for a long, long time.
Well, guess what? Yeah. I mean, you know what? Back in the day, I mean, who did Jordan play with until they got Rodman and Pippen? I mean, they had to draft Pippen. I mean, who did Isaiah Thomas play with? I mean, who did, these guys, I mean, you know, it's a star in a team. Better basketball, more fun. Watching one guy, I mean, Kevin Durant put on a show. Imagine if that's basketball now. It's your best player and the guys they could put around him. Allen Iverson, right. You want to see physical basketball? You want to see basketball where guys are killing each other? put out a star who's making $60 million and everyone else fighting for a roster spot and having to protect that guy. All right, we'll be right back.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.